against Tucker is the next case for argument.
Good morning, Your Honor. May it please the Court, Christopher Keller on behalf of the appellant Lamar Tucker. Your Honors, constructive possession of an object requires the ability to control. Control did not exist on these facts. Lamar Tucker did not live in his mother's apartment where the Sears Roebuck rifle was found. He had no clothes or personal effects there. There was no surveillance observing his activity there. He was not on the lease. He did not have keys. He was not in the apartment when the search occurred.
The agents testified that the defendant admitted that the gun was his. Now, why isn't that enough all by itself?
A few reasons, Your Honor. First, Tucker never admitted, nor was asked about residing in apartment 502. Secondly, Mr. Tucker did not say the gun was his. In fact, he said it was not his.
He said he was holding it for somebody.
Correct, Your Honor. He said it.
Okay, let me be more precise. He admitted possessing the gun.
That's true, Your Honor. But there's an important distinction. He did not, again, concede to living at the residence. And based on United States v. Griffin and United States v. Katz, there must be both a connection between the defendant and contraband and defendant and residence.
So thus, there's this mail. As I understand it, the gun is found under the mattress, but not on the floor. It's a bunk bed. It's the lower bunk.
Correct, Your Honor.
You don't call it a box spring that it sits on, but it's found under that mattress, but above the floor, right?
Yes, Your Honor.
And the mail's right below that on the floor.
Yes, and I think the record's not entirely clear, but the four items were not essentially together. It was scattered amongst many other things, many other papers, and basically the police plucked these four items, obviously, because they had Mr. Tucker's name on them.
Hadn't Mr. Tucker's mother identified that room as Lamar's room?
Well, Your Honor, that would have been Tequila Williams, his niece.
His niece did that?
Yeah, and there's conflicting testimony on that point. It is Tequila Williams' room. She was in the room when the police arrived at the apartment, but there is some conflicting testimony. An officer on rebuttal, the prosecution's rebuttal, said that she said that she pointed.
I thought there was some testimony from an officer that Vanessa Tucker, that's Lamar's mother,
right,
was asked about which room was Lamar's, and she got up from where she was seated and pointed to the first bedroom off the living room, saying that was Lamar's bedroom.
Your Honor, I may be mistaken, but I thought it was Tequila Williams, his niece, that said that.
All right, but somebody said
that. Sure.
Somebody who was in the residence.
Right. That's, again, according to the officer. That's what he said. But
had he grown up in that house, or how long he lived in the house?
Well, that's not clear, Your Honor. She being Vanessa Tucker, his mother, she's been there apparently since 2007. So he, you know, as the court is well aware, he's been in and out of jail throughout his life. He's had many different residents. He's lived at halfway houses, missions, acquaintances' houses.
But it's not unusual in any familial situation for bedrooms to be designated various members of the family.
That's correct, Your Honor. But again, the record is unclear. And Tequila Williams did say the room was hers, and there was one bunk bed. But again, the fact that there are four items, it's not entirely shocking that he would have some items at his mother's house. And the prosecution has emphasized these things, but there's no personal effects of Mr. Tucker's. There's no clothes, no shoes of Mr. Tucker's at the residence. Your Honors, this case is unique. Virtually every constructive possession case involves a defendant in the residence when law enforcement arrives or a defendant living at the residence. Not here. In virtually every constructive possession case involves a defendant who has exclusive control of a premises or at least joint control. Mr. Tucker had no control. He did not live and indeed could not live in the apartment. Further, most constructive possession cases have law enforcement surveillance capture.
Could not live because why?
CHA regulations. He was not on the lease, only it was his mother and niece. He was not on the lease.
But honored in the breach?
I'm sorry?
Is that prohibition honored in the breach?
Well, I'm not sure, Your Honor. But again, the regulations are what they say. And admittedly, if
are you asking that the court take judicial notice that no one ever violates that rule?
I'm not going to say that.
If so, we could take judicial notice that no one ever robs a bank, uses drugs. We could pretty much go out of business. We could take judicial notice that no felon ever possesses a gun because it would be illegal.
True, Your Honor. However, I would say that if they do violate these rules, they are risking losing their residence. So there may be some.
If you violate the rule saying that you can't possess a gun with a felony conviction, your risk is even bigger.
That's true, Your Honor. Further, many constructive possession cases involve law enforcement surveillance capturing, observing the defendant in or around the residence. We did not have that here. And most constructive possession cases involve a defendant with substantial belongings in the residence. Again, not a Hallmark card or outdated ID as we have here. And the fact that he had the IRS letter with his mother's address on it, again, should not be surprising for the simple fact that his mother's address has been the one constant stable address. Mr. Tucker's led essentially a nomadic existence, staying at various locations. So it would be logical that he would use his mother's address for IRS information or potential employers.
Those sound like persuasive arguments that a finder of fact might have bought but didn't. I don't see how we would rule as a matter of law, though, that it would be insufficient evidence.
I understand, Your Honor, that I'm treading into credibility grounds. However, I'm trying to make the point of context, and it also segues into the second issue. Now, there is an equally compelling basis to reverse on the issue of the improper admission of Tucker's six drug felonies, and that's why I kind of bring these essentially credibility arguments. But when a defendant is impeached by a prior conviction, the question of prejudice is not if, but how much. Six felonies is simply...
The prosecutor says, relying on Luce, that once the defendant testifies this argument, the defendant has to testify to make this argument, and your client didn't. And so I look in the reply brief for the answer to Luce, and it's not there. Your reply brief doesn't mention this issue. You have an answer to Luce?
Well, Your Honor, I did mention Luce in the opening brief, and I did concede that, as I must, that he did not testify.
Yeah.
So,
all right. We have a holding of the Supreme Court that the issue can't be raised on appeal if the litigant didn't testify. Your client didn't testify. One would think that what goes next is QED.
Well, we did argue again in the opening brief about plain error, and again,
but Luce says it's waiver.
It's waiver. There is no standard of error.
Well, Your Honor, then I would ask...
What Luce holds is that to raise this issue, the litigant must testify. I mean, that's just sine qua non. Now, some of us are inclined to think that Luce was not well-reasoned, but it is a decision of the Supreme Court, and the Constitution does call us an inferior court.
Well, Your Honor, I would ask also that the court consider the district court's motion in limine ruling and review that for abuse of discretion based on United States v. Hernandez.
It can't be reviewed. That's the holding of Luce.
All right. Well, Your Honor, I see I'm into my rebuttal. Thank you.
Certainly, Mr. Kelcher. Mr. Rahman.
Thank you. Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court. I am Kartik Rahman, and I represent the United States in this appeal. The evidence at trial was sufficient to establish the defendant's guilt beyond a reasonable doubt. After being Mirandized and then waiving his rights...
Mirandized? Is that sort of like Sanferized? You're dipped in a vat of hot, bubbling warnings?
Or given his Miranda warning.
Given his Miranda warnings, Your Honor. And the defendant, who is a convicted felon, admitted to holding the rifle for another person. That point was discussed with counsel just now.
And even more than that, though, didn't he identify it as a rifle when the questioners only mentioned a gun?
Yes, Your Honor. He admitted that he possessed, they mentioned, an unspecified firearm, and it was the defendant who identified that it was a rifle, which indicated that he knew it was a rifle. And then he admitted that he was holding it for another person.
Was it Vanessa Tucker or Tequila Williams who identified the room as Lamar's room?
Yes, Your Honor. It was Vanessa Tucker who, in her testimony...
She denied it.
She denied it, and then in rebuttal, as Your Honor pointed out, Officer Edwards testified that it was her who mentioned that the first room, the first bedroom, was Lamar Tucker's bedroom. The evidence also indicated, established, Your Honors, that there were several documents, an IRS letter, which had the defendant's name, which was just dated a few months before the search in question, and in which the defendant had struck, this is, in fact, the correct address when asked that question. In addition, there was a signature block on a letter, a personal letter, as well as a greeting card, all addressed to Lamar Tucker, and in addition, a state ID card with his photo. All of these documents were found under the mattress where the rifle was found, alongside the rifle.
Were they under the mattress? Weren't they under the bed? That would be under the mattress, but my mental picture is that it's a lower bunk, there's a mattress, there's a kind of a frame, the gun is found between the frame and the mattress, and then the area below the bed is where the mail was found. Am I right about that?
Your Honor makes a good point. The record was not clear as to whether it was under the mattress or between the frame and the mattress. However, the testimony was from all of the witnesses that it was under the mattress. In addition, Your Honors, the defendant also waived his challenge to the motion in limine because he did not testify. As Your Honors pointed out, this is the holding in the Supreme Court's case in Luce that governs here, and so that argument would be waived. If there are no further questions, Your Honor.
I do have a question,
yes, Your Honor,
about this. There was an interview of the defendant reported on by a Chicago police officer, supposedly taking place March 14th of 2009, in which he admits that apartment 502 is his residence.
It was the same night as the search, Your Honor. It occurred. You're talking about a prior arrest. Yes,
prior,
that's correct.
And at that prior time, he was actually in prison, wasn't he?
The evidence indicated he was questioned on that date. We didn't have evidence that he was in prison. I know counsel pointed that out, but I beg to differ.
We know whether he was in prison on that date?
I don't believe he was. There was no testimony to that effect in the record. For these reasons, unless there are any other questions, Your Honors, we ask that the judgment of the district court be affirmed.
Thank you, Mr. Rowan. Anything further, Mr. Kelcher?
Briefly, Your Honor.
Judge Tinder, as your question, transcript page 85, there was a stipulation that Mr. Tucker was not released from prison until April 3rd of 2009. And again, the officer testified at trial that he witnessed stop Mr. Tucker in March of 2009. And that kind of goes to our point also about the confession itself. This entire case rests on a statement that was not videotaped, not recorded, was not taken out on paper and signed, and therefore we ask that, again, this context be considered, that this constructive possession sentence rests on a single officer's unchallenged, uncorroborated statement when this rifle was found in an apartment with four other people present and no fingerprints. If there are no further questions, I would ask that the court reverse.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And Mr. Kelcher, the court appreciates your willingness to accept the appointment and your assistance to the court as well as your client. The case is taken.